Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
And welcome back. Jim Toronto filling in for Dean Richards this morning. We'll be here till noon. It's about 10:40, and I'm very pleased. We've got an inadvertent little E Street little block here, as I just got finished talking to Mighty Max Weinberg of the E Street Band, and now I talk to Bruce Springsteen, biographer extraordinaire, as well as one of rock criticism's innovators and founders, Mr. Dave Marsh. Welcome to the show, Dave.
Thank you. Thank you for the promotion.
Well, hey, you have...
I mean, moving me up in grade, not typing me to the world.
Well, you deserve it. I've still got some old Cream magazines, my friend. You were an editor and one of the founding forces of Cream magazine back in the late 60s, early 70s, weren't you?
Correct.
Yeah, I've still got some of my Cream magazines, and I've got my very rumpled cover, softback cover, the original edition of your defining early Bruce Springsteen biography, Born to Run. And it turns out 40 years later, he stole your title.
No, I stole his, and he borrowed it back.
Okay, is that the way it works? The reason I wanted to talk to you, and I could talk to you for hours, but I wanted to...
Sorry, nothing I can do.
Oh, no problem. I wanted to single in on one thing. This is a theater segment here that we do every week, and the biggest news in theater is on Broadway. The news that was rumored and was finally verified this week: Bruce Springsteen on Broadway. What are your reactions as being fan as well as a biographer and someone who's really in the inner circle?
The first thing I'd say is it does not confirm the rumors that the New York Post was spreading around, because the New York Post got all the details wrong.
Well, you know, that's so true.
It's not with a band.
Yeah.
It's not a concert. It's not a whole bunch of things. What it is not known to anybody except Bruce right now, because so far as I know, maybe there are a couple of people who've seen a script or something, but as far as I know, I mean, there hasn't been a rehearsal. There hasn't been anything. It's a one-man show. I think, you know, what it is will unfold. And I think, you know, we used to talk about Bob Dylan in these terms. You know, you don't know what he's going to do next. And whatever you think it's going to be and whatever you think is logical might not conform to his logic. And often enough, that's true of both Bob and Bruce.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. I mean, when I heard it, the funny thing is, if you were any kind of a Bruce Springsteen aficionado, you could have seen through the mistakes in the Post, because soon after the rumors were floating, little Steven Van Zandt was confirming dates for his own solo tour with his Disciples of Soul band at around the same time that Bruce would be on Broadway. So clearly it wasn't going to be a band show.
Well, and I haven't heard anybody else point that out, including me. So thank you.
Yeah, I saw this and I said, Steve Van Zandt.
I think what's easier to say about this at this point, beyond the fact that it's Bruce's next project and therefore I want to see it.
Right, exactly.
And it's a tough ticket.
Oh.
There's 900 seats a night. They had something on the order of 50,000 ticket requests in the first 5 or 6 hours. I don't know what the number is now.
Yeah.
They're trying a new system with Ticketmaster. Hopefully they'll be able to do that as fairly as conceivable, which isn't, you know, there will be a lot of disappointed people either way. But, you know, I think it's easier to say what it's not, and which we've already done, right?
Yeah.
And now we do know that his book is involved, that he's going to do some readings or orations or something out of his book. But I don't imagine him standing at a lectern reading.
Yeah, right. No, I hope not. He's got to bring the guitar in.
I mean, listen, we know that he has he has teleprompters just like the president and everybody else when he's standing up at the mic. And so some of that might happen, but I would suppose that there are some things that either he might ad lib in the sense of telling the same story but using the language that's more immediate. That would be characteristic of him, right? That's a blind guess by me. It has no relationship to his reality. It's just something I thought he could do. He's way ahead of me, trust me, and he's way ahead of everybody else too.
And he always has been. I think what is so I've been a fan since I was probably Born to Run was one of the first albums I bought when I joined the Columbia Record and Tape Club in 1975. So I was 9 years old, and I was listening to Thunder Road. And
I didn't hear him until I was 19. Sorry, take that back. 21.
Well, I was a cool 9-year-old. So, but you know, it's been to follow his career, and certainly as you have, it's just Bruce on Broadway. I mean, once again, you know, Brando, Merman, Pacino, and now Springsteen. I mean,
why are you making those comparisons?
Well, because I think it's great that Springsteen is taking.
But none of them ever did a one man show. Not one of them.
No. I'm just saying, being on Broadway, I think it's another great. His career is so varied, as you said, so unpredictable, and so why not Broadway? I think it's a great venue.
Well,
it's going to be intimate,
you know,
and special. I think it's another great chapter.
Well, 40 however many years when Bruce's whole thing started out, Broadway was sort of viewed rock and roll as an enemy or inimically anyway. And, you know, most of the rock and roll crowd didn't particularly like the way people on Broadway sang, although there were some really, really important exceptions, and there'd be no Bonnie Raitt without them. And I would not want to live in a world without Bonnie. And Bruce was accused of being too theatrical then. I think his singing now, to the extent that this is a show with singing, is a lot less show tune oriented, but who knows what he's going to do? You know, we really don't know if he's going to do new material, old material, a blend of the two. You know, whether he's going to read from the book, he's going to read from some stuff that he decided not to publish there, as well as the book. I mean, those are all options. I think I was probably wrong about everything I've said so far today, and I'm comfortable. I'm trying to be wrong to show people that. You know, I mean, I know Bruce pretty well. Listen to the radio show we have on Sirius XM once, sometimes. And, my wife works with him.
You're definitely in the inner circle.
I don't know what he's going to, you know, so I know him pretty well relative to the mass of humanity. I got no idea what he's going to do.
Which is great. Which
what he said.
Which makes it, and so, listen, I mean, in terms of stuff in his career, where does this rank as yet another must-see if you're a fan?
Ask me the morning after opening night. You know, I mean, I don't see. How can you know that?
I don't know.
Told me that the next album Bob Dylan made after Blonde on Blonde was going to be John Wesley Harding, I'd say, what?
Yeah, right, exactly.
You know, if you had told me, there was a funny thing. I heard the Seeger Sessions record early, which was when he put together a large folk music band and sang songs that were associated with Pete Seeger one way or another, folk songs. So my wife said, you know, don't tell anybody you've heard this. I said, Barbara, I could call up everybody I know right now and tell them all that Bruce had just made an album of folk songs with a 16-piece band. And the next thing they'd call would be an ambulance for me.
Right.
And a straitjacket, you know? So you don't – I didn't make that call, by the way.
Yeah.
But,
you know, well, that's good.
What you learn is that extraordinary performers do extraordinary things.
Yeah, well, it's to me, it's just whatever it's going to be, it's going to be just another.
Actually, I can tell you one thing: it will be.
What?
It will be good. It might be great.
Yeah, it might be.
I would expect. I would, if I were gambling on it, I would bet great because it has would have a bigger payoff. And generally speaking, when he takes a risk, he knows exactly what he's doing. He is the cautious man. That's one of his songs.
Yeah, exactly. But at the same time, I mean, from a standpoint of, like you said, it's a small, very intimate venue. He's going to be doing, 26 performances over the run from October.
I think he said it was the smallest place he'd played in, well, I don't know for how long. He didn't play anything as small as 900 seats, say, on his solo tours with Tunnel of Love and Devils and Dust.
Right.
Nothing like that small.
Yeah. So, I mean, just the fact of him being in that small and intimate of a venue, whether it is, to your point, talking at a podium or mixing book and
well,
instruments.
I expect it to be all those things.
Yeah, I mean.
And some things I haven't thought of yet.
But to spend, from a fan standpoint, to spend 2 hours or so in that small of a venue for Bruce potentially doing some very personal and obviously solo kinds of performances, it has to be, whether it's good, great, or indifferent, it still has to be special one way or the other.
Yeah, and I think that the nice thing about it has been to watch it, at least, I don't know, from my eyes, the nice thing about it has been the absolute faith, because I do talk to Bruce fans with that radio show I've got.
Yeah,
it is a satellite, but nevertheless, it's people, and it's from all over the country, and the absolute faith of his fans that this will be something extraordinary, because he has never let them down in that sense.
Well, believe me,
I try to think of the other person in American cultural life you can say that about.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I've been to more than 65 shows around the country and a few in Europe, and he has never let me down. And I've never seen the same show twice, and I've seen multiple shows in a row, and I've still never seen the same show twice.
I don't think he's ever done the same show.
I know,
twice
exactly. That's what makes it so exciting. And from a standpoint, I just saw a picture of this sign at the Walter Kerr Theater. It says Springsteen on Broadway, and that just looked really cool. And I've already called my banker to see if I could refinance my home on a second mortgage for a ticket. Because
we're in a very small house. Well, the highest ticket price is $850.
Yeah, well, hopefully I can get one of those. I mean, my point is, I mean, who knows if the other secondary market. I mean, hopefully.
I think one of the things that's important about this tour is that there, or this, I'm sorry, this run is that they are working with Ticketmaster to do the ticketing in such a way as to limit the ways that scalpers and whatever, the secondary market, gets its tickets. They're being pretty strict about, there's names on the tickets. You need to show ID in that name to get in the door. It's got to be photo ID. I mean, you know, I would say basically, without being ice about it, it's a pretty strict set of rules they've set up. And that's for everybody's protection. And look, here's the thing. If anybody's concerned about how expensive the tickets are for a rock show, they're not. And if Bruce wanted to charge these ticket prices on his band tours, he easily could.
Right.
He doesn't want just that audience. But there are some things, and there are some economic realities about what's necessary on Broadway. You know, you've had a publicist since 1985 or something, and, you know, you've got to use a Broadway publicist too, and you have to pay them.
Uh-huh.
You know, there's all kinds of union rules. You may have your sound guy, but if your guy doesn't have a card from the right union, he's going to be supplemented by a union guy. Those are the rules on Broadway. You have to play by the rules, so you can't get the doors open.
Well, I'm just talking more about the scarcity,
and that's what shoots. The price up.
Well, I'm not saying that. I'm sure. I mean, once again, I mean, you know, I understand the high price on a retail. I mean, what the heck? It was $200 or $300 to see Hello Dolly. I'm just saying is that the scarcity of the tickets. It's going to be maybe the hardest ticket in Broadway history, and so obviously, you know, there may be a secondary market, and because there are going to people be from all over the world who are going to want
it. It's going to be a tricky secondary market, though, because the tickets have to be bought in the name of
right.
the person who uses them.
Yeah.
And Ticketmaster tells me and my staff that my colleagues that this system is working.
Well, hopefully
so
that's great.
Yeah, if that's the case, it's certainly possible to use probably a U.S. credit card if you have one, and you live in Italy to be an Italian who's going to fly over for the show if the lottery sort of aspect of it kicks in and you get a chance to buy the show. But if it doesn't, I don't know how you get in your shoe. You know, you want to come to New York, that's fine.
Right.
But I don't know how long you're going to wait on the highway.
Well,
on the sidewalk,
well, hopefully hopefully that's good, because then it's a fair system, and we all know that Bruce has been one of the most secondary.
You know, there's no such thing as a fair ticketing system as soon as there's one more person than there are seats.
Right.
And there's a lot more than one more person. But the thing is that everybody's keeping their lids on. Everybody's hoping, or at least I am, that Bruce will extend a little bit, or that he'll decide he wants to perform this in other cities, because that would mean
right.
that he was really confident that he had something good and thought it was worth his time and energy. So, you know, you hope for those things.
Right.
And,
well, as you said, Bruce Springsteen rarely in his entire career has disappointed. At the same time, he has always taken risks, and this one falls in both categories. It could be a risk, but at the same time, it could be a risk well worth taking. And
it's not even could be a risk. It's a significant risk, but that's what artists do.
Right,
they take risks, and great artists, which I think there's nobody who doesn't, or nobody meaningful who doesn't think he's a great artist now. Earlier on, yes. I have the bruises to show for it, but it's great artists. You know, most of their risks come home.
Right, exactly. Well, Dave Marsh, I have to tell you, thanks for your insights. Thanks for your very you've given me something new to think about as well on this, because as I said, it could be anyone's guess as to what it's going to be. And as you said, we won't know what
it
is.
Who knows? Maybe we'll meet at the Chicago premiere if there is one.
There we go. I'd love to do that. And in fact, you have no way of remembering this, but back when I was a budding rock critic, I interviewed you when your Glory Days book came out in the late 80s. So we go back, even though you have no way of remembering.
Oh, yeah.
That.
Yeah. Did you interview me for radio?
Yeah, no, I was a print reporter at that time.
Okay. Well, I had the great luxury of being interviewed three times by Studs Terkel. So,
cool.
I'm from just up I-94. That's where I grew up.
Yeah.
In Michigan.
Yeah, you're from Michigan, Detroit. Yeah.
I'm just like everybody in Chicago. I might not always root for the White Sox, but I always root for the Cubs.
There you go. Good way to end your Chicago interview spot here on WGN. Thank you so much, Dave Marsh, for taking time on your Sunday. Take care, man.
Bye-bye.
All right, that's Dave Marsh talking about Bruce Springsteen on Broadway, the hottest ticket most likely in Broadway history. And we will see what happens with that in October and November. I'm going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. I'm Jim Tarano, filling in for Dean Richards. No switching.